for years. I mean, well, if you have your Bibles, once you get those out too. So I just want to have that. I want you to just have it on your lap for now, just ready to dig in. But before that, what I like to do is, I would everybody have the notes. Turn it over to the back. I want to do something with you for a second before we get started, and kind of give you guys a challenge at the same time. So this year, if you guys have looked through your bulletin, you guys will probably see somewhat of a theme. I think it's pretty clear. And the theme that we're going for this year was social media. Social media in general. So, and it could be anything. I don't know if you knew this, but like a couple years ago, even YouTube, a streaming service, they renamed it into a social media site. Because of the social aspect that's on it. So we have a myriad of social media, that we are aware of, any apps that give us, a social aspect to it is under that category. And with that, as Alex and Jeremy and I are sitting down and we're trying to discuss what is relevant, what stuff that you guys are going through. Yeah, we're going through stuff. We have kids. We're going through a different stage of life. We have to go back and think, what is some things that we went through? But even then, I don't know if you guys know this, I didn't have a cell phone until I was 18, and it was a flip phone. It was before smartphones. In fact, I didn't get a smartphone until I was like 26. I was really behind the times. But with that, I have to think, what is something you guys are going through? So as we thought about that, we always like not just the main theme, but what's the undertone, the spiritual theme that we're wanting to go with? And we decided on contentment. And I believe that is something relevant to everyone and will always be relevant. I think that when you're 89 years old and going through the scroll hole of the new social media site on a phone that's just air, I don't know, you'll be 89. I think that you'll still struggle with this. And I know that we'll struggle with it because it's written all throughout the Bible. And I believe that anything in the Bible that's addressed is addressed because we struggle with it. And it's a way to give us wisdom on it. So with that, I want to talk about contentment this weekend. And on the back of your bulletin, you see a passage. The book of Philippians is a great passage or a great book on joy. But it talks a lot about contentment. And we're going to dig into that this weekend too. But here's my challenge. On the back here, you will see Philippians 4:4-7. My first challenge is this. I would love it, because we're going to read this passage before we start every session. I would love it if you got up in the morning and read it too. On your own, or with a friend, you can grab the person next to you, like you wake up, hit the person next to you, I don't care, and be like, let's read this together. They may need it, but who cares? Read this together. And I'm going to show you how fast it is to read it. And that's it. And okay, so it's going to be literally like not even a minute. And you guys will get through this entire passage, and you will have soaked in and gotten ready for the day with this passage. Okay? Second challenge. And I think you can do this, because I think you guys do this all the time. I want you to memorize this before you leave here this weekend. I think you can memorize anything. I know some people are like, I'm terrible at memorization. It's usually because it's the stuff you don't want to memorize that you're terrible at. It's the stuff that's like, I don't want to spend time memorizing that. That's the stuff that's hard to memorize. I get it. I've been there. I'm still there. But I think you can do this. Okay? So let's read this. And we'll show you, and this will be the example of how fast this can go. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say, rejoice. Let your reasonableness be made known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication. With thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and a peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. See how fast that was? I don't even think that was a minute. Do that every morning. That passage has gotten me through a lot of hard times and a lot of uncertainties. When I wasn't content, when I was struggling in my mind, in my beliefs, in my actions, I was unsettled, losing sleep. That prayer right there, with thanksgiving, making my request known to God, He gave me a peace that I couldn't explain. Even when the waves were all around, I had a peace that was unexplainable. With that being said, I want you to turn to Romans 10. Romans 10. There's two verses that we're going to look at today, because and these are verses that you've probably heard before. If you've been in church for more than 5 times, you've probably heard this past, these verses. Okay, I'm just saying. So if you have any biblical knowledge of Romans at all, you will have heard this. Starting verse 9. Because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for today. We thank you for this opportunity to get into your word. God, I trust you. I trust that what is said is stuff that you want to be said. God, I pray that it is your word that changes hearts, not mine. That it would be your message, not my own. I pray, Father, that you are preparing the hearts and the minds, everyone hearing this message, including myself. That, Father, you would bless it. I pray, Father, that you would guide us in your grace and mercy and your will. And we'd be all to your glory in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. At the top of your notes, I want to go over these three things really quick, because these are the three messages that I'm going to speak on. Okay, these are the three topics. The first one is belief. Belief. Belief affects thoughts, and that affects actions. So belief affects thoughts, affects actions. I see this in Luke 6:45. And I can turn here real quick. Luke 6:45. And it says, as a good person, out of the good nature of his heart produces good. And the evil person, out of his evil treasure, produces evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaks. I believe this is biblical. I believe that what you believe about a myriad of things, okay? A myriad of things, whether it be what you believe about yourself, what you believe about your surroundings, what you believe about God, what you believe about who saves you, who your God is, what thing you spend the most time with, what you believe in will affect the things that you choose to put into your mind. You'll start to find the group, the crowd, the community, the friends that ultimately affirm these things in you, the things that you believe. You'll start reading things that you are reading. As you're reading, the things that you believe will stick out more than the things you don't believe. This is the way, one, of Satan reiterating lies in your life. I just want to let you know that. And this is what we do. So we believe something, then we read stuff, we start transforming our mind and our thoughts into thinking a certain way that affirms the things we believe. And then it affects the way we act. It comes out. Out of the mouth, the heart speaks. What we have in here, what we believe, will come out, will show itself in an external manner. What is, and I want to hear from you guys for a second. What is something you believed in as a child that you don't believe in anymore? Santa. What else? Yeah, Santa's not real. What is, it's because you stop believing him, all right? What is something that you believed as a child that you don't believe anymore? Santa? Tooth Fairy? What else?
I believe pizza
was healthy. What is that? I believe pizza was healthy. Yeah, pizza was healthy. Pizza is healthy. Yeah. I still believe that. That's why I eat so much of that. Huh?
Smokestacks
make the clouds. That's a good one. By crop factories, yeah. That's right.
That wild animals understood me.
Wild animals understood me. Come here, little one. Little squirrel. When I was a kid, I believed in Santa. My parents lied to me, and so I remember being little. I don't know how little I was, 16 or 17, and no, I was like, I don't know how old I was. I remember, like, I wanted the old brick Game Boys. If you guys know what they are, they're like gray, and like, if you find one still in the box in good condition, oh, come on, you can sell that for a lot of money. I don't have that because I played mine religiously. But the thing is, I wanted this Game Boy, and I wanted Pokemon Red. There was red and blue, and that was my jam. And so I wanted this, and I remember staying awake. I wanted it so bad. Santa was going to bring it to me. I believe it. And I remember getting up out of bed and going down the hallway in the morning. I don't know what time it was, but we had a wood stove, kind of, I mean, like this, but it wasn't. It's like a cast iron stove that heated our house. I had no clue on how Santa was going to get in without completely destroying himself. Like, it was a Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego situation. And so we had these stairs and this banister, and I hid behind the banister, and I stared at that thing, which in my little mind was like hours. And I stared and stared at this stove, and I'm like, you're coming through. The problem was, is my mom and dad had forgotten batteries so that I could play the Game Boy right when I got it. So my mom had gone into town. This is pre-cell phone. And we lived out in the middle of nowhere, okay? So this is pre-cell phone. My mom is waiting outside, and she sees me waiting, and she doesn't want to ruin Santa for me. And so she stands up there at the window and is watching me watch the stove, and I don't care. Like, I'm just... But she can't come inside, and it's freezing outside. She doesn't want to ruin the surprise. So what she does is she goes to my dad's, her room window where my dad was at, and is like beating on the window. So my dad's like, gets up, and then he's like bleary eyed, and he goes and he grabs me, and he's like, go to bed. Like, but he drags me to bed, and my mom's able to come in and get everything situated. And then, the next year, my dad didn't want to do that again. So where my mom was, like, really intent on keeping this, like, this lie going, my dad was like, no. My bedroom was where he had to pass by my bedroom, and he purposely kept the door open, and he was hearing presents as loud as he could past my bedroom. And I remember, like, him, like, the plastic bags, and I'm pretty sure he's just shaking them and everything else, and I'm watching my dreams just go out the window, and I'm just like watching it as he's going back and he's like staring into the room. I remember, and then I got up and I was like, "Dad, is Santa real?" And he goes, "No, son." Like, it was, all right, I love you, Dad. And so then he never broke the news to my brother. My brother's left. My brother's 2 years younger than me, and he made me do it. I had to be like, Justin, Santa's not real, and my brother's like, he didn't care. He was like, all right. And then he's like, do we still get presents? We do. But I say that because I, as a child, my beliefs, what happened? My beliefs manifested themselves through into action. I believe Santa was real, so I wanted to prove it. I wanted to put that in my mind. I wanted to make sure, like, yeah, I went and sat on Santa's lap. I told him everything that I wanted, but I wanted to see him in my house.
I wanted to believe. And then my dreams were crushed. But do you see how this happens? We get that that's adolescent, but we do this all the time. We do this with how we view ourselves. We do this with our friends. We do this with how we view the world. And what it produces when it's set on something other than Jesus is an instability which causes discontentment. And that's what we're going to look at today. So the first question I want you to think about is, what is the thing that drives all your decisions and choices? As I said, our beliefs manifest themselves in our actions. So what is the thing that drives that in you? You know, this is a deep question. This is a gut check moment for you. What is the thing that drives all your decisions and choices? Point number one. True contentment is found in who you serve. True contentment is found in who you serve. Because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. So, this first part of this passage is an external matter. But this is really important because this dictates a lot of times, I see this to the teens at our church all the time, you in our church. In the book of Romans, there is this theology that has been made that Jesus is this lovey-dovey boyfriend type that only wants to say sweet nothings in your ear and wants to make you feel like you're the best thing that's ever happened on this planet. And it happens a lot. Songs, worship songs, are turning into man-centric songs where you're the center of attention. And Jesus is doing everything only for you, nothing else. It's for your glory. And he's working overtime for your glory. And they raise man up instead of lowering man and raising God up. And with that, this very first part, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord. So the question here is, and you guys can fill in the blanks at the bottom too, who do you believe you serve? You serve someone. You serve something. Do you know that you were made to worship God? You were made to worship. But in our fallenness, so when Adam and Eve sinned, they passed down a sinful nature in us. So before the fall, you see Adam and Eve are the perfect image of God. Perfect. Nothing wrong with them. And then they sinned, and then they became a broken image of God. And they passed that down to us. Thanks, Adam and Eve. And what happens then is, with that, we become a broken image of God because we share the image of Adam as well. And that's the sin. And what that causes in us is that we are naturally worshipers, because that's how God created us to be. We have to worship something. And so how that manifests itself now is we serve someone. We serve something. I think in this day and age, I think a lot of things are thrown at you in what to serve. I think the first thing we ultimately serve is ourselves. We want to be happy. We want to be satisfied. We want to be comfortable. We don't want anything to go wrong. So we're going to keep the box nice and tidy. And we're only going to let in what's nice and tidy. And that is a service to yourself. And what that means is you serve the good of you. Other things that you serve, and that I serve, is this. This is our call. This is ultimately something we run to. It's when we're uncomfortable in a situation. Where do we go to? Something comfortable. to worship service for our phone all of a sudden. Oh, you know, I think phones are bad. Okay, I don't want you guys to be like, is this an anti-phone speech? It's not. I think this is one of the greatest inventions that's ever hit this planet. I really do. I think they're great tools. I think that they're awesome, but I think, like every tool, they can be misused. And so with that, I think that we ultimately can serve our phones. I think we can serve people over God. Have you ever been in a relationship where you've lost all sight of God and I just love that person. They're the greatest person on the planet. I'll do anything for them. I'll buy things for them. It's because you serve them. Who do you believe you serve? Because the first part of this Romans passage is this. If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is what? Lord. Say it louder.
Lord.
Lord. Do you know how heavy that term is? And this word Lord is a relational term. I love that Brad got up here and talked about a relationship and the yoke. I love that. That imagery. Because it is a relationship. God is not this, like, looking down on us with a crown on his head going, pity them. Like, he's not stepping on anybody. He wants a relationship with you. That's why he sent his son to die on the cross. He wants reconciliation with you. And that term, Lord, has a deeper meaning, though. It's relational. And it's servitude. Who do you believe you serve? If you don't know the answer to that question, where does your money go? Where does your time go? We're going to talk a lot about that in the third session. But where does your money go? Where does your time go? Jesus has to be Lord of your life. Number two, true contentment is found in where you find salvation. Salvation. And believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Salvation, do you know what the word salvation means to anybody? It's an R word. Rescue. It means rescue. So when we receive salvation, it is because God has rescued us from ourselves. Rescued us from our sin. And where you believe you find that rescue is where all of this discontentment can start to happen. We tend to invest in the wrong things because we're trying to find that fulfillment. I grew up going to church. I mean, from a little boy, my mom and dad were saved from a really rough background. They were partiers, drug users, drinkers. They lived the life, I'm telling you, and it was rough. My dad vowed to never, when he had kids, he's like, I do not want my kids to grow up in the environment that I grew up in, nor the environment that I created for myself. So my mom and dad, they get saved. God rescued them and saved them. And praise the Lord, I was saved from a lot of heartache. I didn't grow up in that environment. So I grew up in church, and there was a doctrine that this church believed that threw me off. Now, I believed it because I ultimately, that's all I was taught to believe. I didn't know any different. And I want to set this up. I believe that once you are saved, you are always saved. I believe that the Bible teaches that. I believe that you didn't work for your salvation, and nor do I think your works would save you from it. This doctrine taught me that I can lose my salvation, which was really dangerous for me and my personality. As I got older, I remember in fifth grade I had this teacher named Mrs. Wright, and she was so sweet. But she stood up in church one Sunday night. This fire is, it's still in my mouth. He would build the fire up, and I was like, ugh, all right. That's why I don't have my pullover on anymore. But Mrs. Wright, she was so sweet, and I remember she stood up at a Sunday night church, and she goes, I just want to brag on someone real quick. Jason James. Can you stand up, Jason? And so I'm like this little, and by the way, I was tiny. I always have been tiny until today. And so I stand up, and I'm like, I don't know what she's going to say. And she goes, he just tells the truth. He's a little truth fan. And she said, I've never heard him tell a lie. If I see something going on bad in the classroom, that young man, I know I can go to him and he'll tell me the truth. I could have done a mic drop. And I can also say, bless her heart for saying that about me. But it was the worst thing that I could have heard. By the way, encourage one another. She was really encouraging. But for me, and what I believed, it was the worst thing I could hear. Because I believed I could lose my salvation. You know what this means? That what I did, telling the truth, or at least making someone believe I told the truth, destined me for heaven. See, I never knew that line. I never knew the line when I would ultimately, I'm like, let's say I lied, and then I died. Would that mean I'm going to heaven? Is that the line? You see where this can come into workspace stuff? And that was too hard to keep up, though. Oh, man, that was hard to keep up. And I remember in middle school, I figured out that at least if you thought I was good, I was okay. So I went from serving just good works to serving your opinion. I didn't care necessarily who you were, but as long as you thought I was a good guy or a good kid, I was set. I was going to get heaven. The problem there is that's not biblical. And there was this war happening. I remember 7th grade trying to figure out what's going on. Struggling. Middle school is a confusing time. And I was struggling. I wish I could go back as a 34-year-old and tell this young man the truth. That you don't have to work for it. Because all those years, even as a child, I built up habits that I still deal with today. In my life as a Christian. It's because I was trying to find salvation in other things. I didn't believe that Jesus was completely saving me. I thought I still had to do certain things to win that battle. And I went to a camp, a Christian camp, because I still was going to church. I went to a Christian camp, and this man, Troy Covey, said that to me. He's preaching on stage, and it was a big summer camp in Kansas City, and he says, if you're working for it, you're serving the wrong God. And so he gave the gospel, and he said, if you want that, come down. I remember just like, because the freedom that I felt, I was so excited that I didn't have to work anymore for this. I could find salvation and a foundation in someone, and that, the relief that happened. I sprinted down the aisle. I remember just vividly going down the aisle, and I got up there, and he goes, all right. He was like, okay, this guy wants it. In that element, there, the contentment that did show up, because it didn't have to work for it anymore. Praise the Lord. Where are you finding your salvation? Where's your foundation? Where do you believe, and that's a nice one, where do you believe you find salvation. If it's anything other than Jesus, we have issues. Point number three, true contentment is found in Jesus. I want you to turn to John 15 for me. John 15. True contentment is found in Jesus. I am the vine. I am the true vine. And my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself, unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. There is a war happening in this world. And it's for your soul. If you believe that Jesus is your Lord and Savior, and that is not you or anything else that can get you to heaven, you've got a good foundation. But even in this, and again, I go back to what Brad said this morning, because he reflected on this. He didn't necessarily say this, but he reflected on this. The thing that's rough is we will go, good works doesn't get me to heaven. I believe in Jesus as my Lord and Savior, and I'm fine now. I got my fire insurance card. I'm not going to hell. I'm good. But then we believe that our good works is what sustains us in our walk with Christ. It's our good works that brings us contentment. It's what our people's opinions about us that gives us contentment. It is social media, the likes, it's the other things that bring us contentment. I only believe that those things actually bring more anxiety than anything. I think you actually are inviting anxiety in your life when that's the basis of your life. The thing that true contentment, if true contentment is found only in Jesus, then when you're struggling, and you're losing sleep, and you are, and all of these things, because I know it. I get it. I know mental illness. I know this stuff. This is not foreign to me. I know when we run to other things, it will never get fixed. Ever. I know it through experience. Jesus is it, and he's calling you to surrender everything you have to him. Your cares, your worries. So how's your relationship with Jesus? How's your relationship with him? Are you 1 foot in, 1 foot out? God, I kind of trust you, but I don't know if I can because I don't see you all the time. I don't know. But here's what I do see. I know my friends are there. They're going to type the things in. I'm going to make sure at least they like my status. I'm going to get some sort of affirmation from that. And by the way, and I can't reiterate this enough, friends do like you. But they're not always willing to tell you what's wrong. Jesus is. Because he actually really sacrificially loves you. And because of that, I know, God, if you can fix this, and it may not be today, I'm fine with that. But I'm cannonballing in that pool.
I want to get better. But God, I don't know how. Jesus, help me. I'm giving up everything. I'm done. I'm done relying on this other stuff. I'm done believing in this other stuff to fix me. God, it's only you. I need you and only you. This is why I say, memorize. Hide this in your heart. You want to know the greatest combatant against anything you're struggling with? Anything at all. The Bible's relevant in every area of this world. And God goes, Jesus, I want to be Lord of your life. Give it to me. Believe, not have, believe that I can handle it. Step one of true contentment is trusting Jesus with your life. I know there's a typo there, and some of you guys are like, I can't handle that. You can put a little R. Trusting Jesus with your life. I'm almost done. The reason this is important, and the reason why this is the very first message that I want to share before we go to the next two, is without this, the other two don't matter. This is the firmest of foundations. Everything else in this world is changing, deteriorating. The wind blows and like we have a new trend. Something else we gotta figure out. And God stays the same forever. That's why He's a firm foundation. We don't have to wonder what God's thinking. He's got it. He's given it to us. And we know that all the promises He gives us, He's not going to take away. Because He's never changing. So this is what you have to think about. And this is my thing for you, even before tonight. Take time to reflect on these things. Who do you serve? And where do you find salvation? And how's your relationship with Jesus? How's that going? I believe that you guys are capable of thinking deep. I believe you guys are able to hold concentration on something for more than 4 seconds. I do believe that. And I believe, without a doubt, that if you turn your life over to God, He'll work on it. And it will be better for you when He does. Right, let's pray. God, you're gracious. And for that, I thank you. Because we fail in this so often, your word says that we are prone to wander. So even in our life with you, in our relationship with you, it's so easy to get distracted by the things of this world and the things that are shinier and the things that are newer, the things that are bigger. It's easy to get lost in all of that. And so God, thank you for your grace. But God, thank you that even in that grace, you want us to change. You want us to grow in a deeper relationship with you. And so God, I pray that this would be the jump start for so many of us who are struggling in that arena. God, I want contentment. I want to be able to look at life and everything going wrong and all this stuff, God, that I can look at you and one firm thing and go, He's got me. So God, I pray that you would put that in the hearts of all of us and that we would believe in you to be that change in our lives. We thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.